She left on a Sunday morning. I'd already come down. My mouth tasted like a dirty ashtray. I needed silence for sound. Not really sure where she's gone, as long as it's not here. Feels like a few things have run their course. That's pretty damn clear. She calls me up 3 days later, sounding drunk and stoned. "Can I come back?" she asks, embarrassed. "You always feel like home." All I could think was how homes never last. They often burn. I couldn't fault her for her feelings. Some people just never learn. Okay, good people. As promised, here are 10 books that I have truly loved. They're in no particular order. But I have read each of them at least once, probably all of them twice. So I don't know. I just think it's cool to pass on books that are fucking good. Read them, check them out. Anyway, number one, Air Conditioned Nightmare by Henry Miller. Number two, And the Ass Saw the Angel by Nick Cave. Number three, Last Exit to Brooklyn by Hubert Selby Jr. Number four, Dope Fiend by Donald Goins, a black author who was taken way too soon. The Devil All the Time, number five, by Donald Ray Pollock. Six, City by Tony O'Neill. Number seven, Scar Lover by Harry Cruz. Number eight, Crimes in Southern Indiana by Frank Beale. Number nine, The Ballad of Trench Mouth Taggart by M. Glenn Taylor. And number 10, Frank Sinatra in a Blender by Matthew McBride. Do yourselves a favor, folks. Check all these out. Great books. Keep up the read. Hello, once again, everybody. It's your favorite social fit. Coming at you with a list of 10 records that it would do you good to go out and get them. These are in no particular order. These have seen many rotations on my turntable. I recommend them wholeheartedly. Go out and get them now. The first one is the Stooges, Funhouse. And the Sex Pistols, Nevermind the Bollocks. Fear, the record. The Rolling Stones, Exile on Main Street. The Ramones, Rocket to Russia. The Misfits, Evil Live Album. John Prine, Prime Prine. I'm saying that because I found out today he has the coronavirus and I'm hoping he'll be around, but it's not looking good. Anyway, trying to keep this positive. Next one is Mudhoney, Super Fuzz, Big Muff. And there's this band out of Australia called Hydro Medusa, and that's the self-titled album. They are fucking badass. You ought to check them out. And the last one is the Dead Boys, Young, Loud, and Snotty. Again, these are great records, man. I leaned on the rock and roll side this time. Maybe the next time I'll do a country or just more laid-back rock and roll type list. Who knows? Stay tuned, fuckers. See you next time. Confessions by Joe S. Thomas. None of them can do it as well as I can. None. There have been a few that have tried only to be caught and put to death. They're fucking amateurs. They disgust me. They were weak. I'm the strongest of the strong when it comes to my trade. It's going on 18 years now and only get better as I go along. They call to me in their subconscious and I always answer. Always. I hardly ever even plan anymore. I just do it and do it well. From the time I entered kindergarten, I knew something was different about me. My penis would get hard when my teacher, Miss Pennington, would come over to me. I could smell her perfume and see her long brown hair, and I would get stiff as a board down there. I guess I was jacking off even then. I remember thinking that I pulled my dick so hard that I thought it was going to come off in my hand, and I'd be standing there with my dick, blood dripping out of it, and for some reason it turned me on even more. I spent my whole elementary education finding different ways to jack off and different women to jack off to. The little girls didn't do it for me. I always looked to the high school girls for material. They looked better to me. I couldn't fucking wait to get into high school for my higher education. I spent a lot of my time with the girls in my stash of magazines. They would look at me and just beg for it. They didn't judge. They just wanted my dick, and I gladly gave it to them 3 or 4 times a day, sometimes more. The first real lovemaking I did was my freshman year of high school. A beautiful girl named Heather had caught my eye, and I started thinking of her when I would do my business. I went up to her and tried to speak, but she laughed in my face and ran off to tell her popular friends about it all. I wasn't a very social guy, and I had no friends. It's easy to say I was alone. After Heather's public shunning of me, I started following her when she was unaware. I thought if she could have me in her just once, she would be hooked forever. The obsession grew until finally, on our walk home from school, I grabbed her at her front door and pushed our bodies through. Both of her parents worked second shift, and she had no brothers or sisters. I put my hand over her mouth and closed the door with my foot. She started yelling and threatening me, so I picked up a log poker from her fireplace and hit her over the head with it. She was knocked out cold. She had on a skirt, and I still remember her creamy thighs that led up to her marvelous white panties with cute little butterflies on them. I dropped the poker, pulled her panties to the side, and started licking the way I'd seen on the videos in my basement. I was aroused more than I'd ever been in my life. After licking her for about 15 minutes, I pulled her panties off. I pulled my pants down and stuck my cock in her pussy. After the first stroke, her eyes popped open wide and she began squirming and screaming again. I grabbed the poker once more and hit her in the head again. I fucked and fucked until my cock was spent. I tried to shake her awake, but apparently the second blow from the poker did her in. I didn't panic. I felt like the king of the earth. I scooped her lifeless body up and took her down to the parents' basement, which was half concrete and half dirt. I found a shovel and started digging. It took a few hours, but I got the hole big and deep enough for Heather's body to fit into. Luckily, her father had some lye on his workbench, so I poured it all around the grave and on Heather's body. I went home and thought nothing else about it. A few days after my first lovemaking session, questions were floating around about what happened to Heather. Her parents went to the local news station to beg and plead for their precious daughter to come home. They thought she had ran away. I guess I was feeling great, knew my lovemaking would continue, and it did all through high school. I got scarred up on a few occasions, but always came out on top without anyone suspecting a thing. In the fall of 1998, I decided to attend college at a university that must remain anonymous, you understand. I have to protect my practice. The lovemaking continued with as many women as I wanted. I decided to go to medical school and continue to further my education and to sharpen my skills in other areas as well. It all came so easily to me. The years flew by with my cock and my brain growing stronger every day. Around 2006, the year I was to graduate medical school, I met a girl at the bar that my friends and I used to hang at. The first time I saw Beth, I knew she was different than the other women I'd fucked and killed. I definitely wanted to fuck her, but the killing didn't enter my mind. One look into those beautiful green eyes and I was smitten. She was dressed in a black leather skirt of some sort, with tall black boots that made her irresistible to me. I walked over to her and asked if I could buy her a drink, and that's how our relationship began. Beth and I dated for at least a year before I decided to tell her a few of my confessions. I thought that she would have nothing to do with me after I opened up to her, but to my surprise, she grabbed me and fucked me harder than we'd ever fucked before. She was more than accepting of my lovemaking lifestyle and wanted to participate. We started making plans to go out to the alternative clubs in our area and pick up a few women. I was loving it. A partner in every sense of the word. After a few excursions Beth and I took, I decided to ask her to be my wife. She accepted with blood on her hands, literally and figuratively. In the spring of 2007, I started my own OBGYN clinic in our downtown area for the sole purpose of helping the women of our community who have had little to no money. They would never be missed and never were found. Beth was my secretary, of course, so we had our plans down perfectly. I started taking out ads in the paper for my clinic saying I would give free care to those willing to accept experimental treatment that consisted of anesthesia and whatever my brain wanted to do with these ladies. It was a truly groundbreaking experience for Beth and I like to thank the patients before they expired. We have our practice downtown, a great house in the suburbs of our city with a huge basement for our research, and are thinking of having a few offspring. That's in the future, though. Come on down for all your female needs. I assure you, they will be met. No questions asked, and no unwanted information leaked. This story is, of course, fictitious. Please do not get upset. Friends on Both Sides by Joe S. Thomas. The transaction was completed. I felt really good about myself. I thought of how great and necessary it was to know certain people. I had just left the workplace of one of my cohorts. It was the final destination and nothing more. The tables could not be turned now. It was done. Backtrack. She came home with tears in her eyes. I tried my best to find out what was wrong with her. She said, "I'm a woman. We just cry sometimes." Fair enough, I thought to myself. I've heard that statement from every female I've ever been with. Still, I tried to pull it out of her. I put my arms around her and the tears started flowing again. We sat down to dinner and she started talking about her Christian faith and I told her of my struggle with it. She finally cheered up a little, so we settled down in the bedroom to watch a movie. Later in the evening, I hear a text message come through her phone. I jokingly asked if it was from her boyfriend. Something about the way she looked made me feel uneasy. Still joking around, I asked her to let me see her phone. She was acting sheepish about it, so now I really wanted to see it. Come to find out, there was a text from her ex-boyfriend, who I really happened to hate with every pore of my being. The text didn't really say anything implicating, but I was pissed that she was communicating with the bastard and keeping it from me. I said, how would you feel if I called or texted my ex-girlfriends? Silence. I slept on the couch. I knew who this douchebag was. I remembered him from my teenage years when he was trying really hard to be Vanilla Ice. Why my girlfriend would talk to him in the first place is way beyond me. Back to now. It was a rainy, gray, depressing day as I stood across the street from where the victim worked. The only thing I had to do was to make sure he was working that day. He was. Marvelous. I pushed the buttons on my phone and started the glorious deed. Jason worked on one side of the victim, and my other friend Tracy worked on the other side. Both of them were good friends. We sort of grew up together. The three of us met at the coffee shop yesterday to go over a few things. Let's just say they knew what to do. It was around 5 o'clock when all the shops in the horrid strip mall started to close and lock up for the day. The victim knew both Jason and Tracy from seeing them day after day at their jobs, or so he thought. Tracy seemed to be having some car trouble. The hood on her car was open and she had her head buried in the motor and her ass up in the air. All planned by yours truly, of course. I knew our victim well enough to know he would come over to Tracy in the guise of a helping hand, when in actuality, he wanted her moistness dripping off of his fingers. I stood across the street and watched out of sight from everyone as all this unfolded just as it had in my brain the day before. I was smiling like a madman as he walked over to Tracy's car. I had her wear the shortest, most alluring outfit she had in her wardrobe. Jason happened to be parked 2 cars down from Tracy. He had been hiding in his car for about 15 minutes until he got the wink from her. He quietly opened his door and climbed out with a large black tire iron. By this time, I was licking my lips. I could almost taste the blood. It was intoxicating. Our victim was leaning in toward the motor as Jason stealthily walked up behind him and tapped him on the shoulder. As he turned around, I saw Jason swing the tire iron as if he were hitting the longest home run known to man. I heard a deep thud all the way across the street, and I saw our victim's scalp peel back like a banana. I smiled and went on home. It was during coffee the next day, as my girl was flipping through the paper that I purposely bought, that she found out about the horrible accident. Seems our victim was now in a nursing home for invalids. Out of pity, we went to visit him and his family. As my girlfriend was consoling his wife, I walked over to him and tweaked his nose in a playful manner. I told him to be careful if he ever got to leave the nursing home. There are a lot of crazies out there. A tear dropped from his mute face as I dabbed at the drool running down his chin. I really hope you guys have a great day. Call or text us if you need anything. Friends on Both Sides by Joe S. Thomas. The transaction was completed. I felt really good about myself. I thought of how great and necessary it was to know certain people. I had just left the workplace of one of my cohorts. It was the final destination and nothing more. The tables could not be turned now. It was done. Backtrack. She came home with tears in her eyes. I tried my best to find out what was wrong with her. She said, "I'm a woman. We just cry sometimes." Fair enough, I thought to myself. I've heard that statement from every female I've ever been with. Still, I tried to pull it out of her. I put my arms around her and the tears started flowing again. We sat down to dinner and she started talking about her Christian faith, and I told her of my struggle with it. She finally cheered up a little, so we settled down in the bedroom to watch a movie. Later in the evening, I hear a text message come through her phone. I jokingly asked if it was from her boyfriend. Something about the way she looked made me feel uneasy. Still joking around, I asked her to let me see her phone. She was acting sheepish about it, so now I really wanted to see it. Come to find out, there was a text from her ex-boyfriend, who I really happened to hate with every pore of my being. The text didn't really say anything implicating, but I was pissed that she was communicating with the bastard and keeping it from me. I said, how would you feel if I called or texted my ex-girlfriends? Silence. I slept on the couch. I knew who this douchebag was. I remembered him from my teenage years when he was trying really hard to be Vanilla Ice. Why my girlfriend would talk to him in the first place is way beyond me. Back to now. It was a rainy, gray, depressing day as I stood across the street from where the victim worked. The only thing I had to do was to make sure he was working that day. He was. Marvelous. I pushed the buttons on my phone and started the glorious deed. Jason worked on one side of the victim, and my other friend Tracy worked on the other side. Both of them were good friends. We sort of grew up together. The three of us met at the coffee shop yesterday to go over a few things. Let's just say they knew what to do. It was around 5 o'clock when all the shops in the horrid strip mall started to close and lock up for the day. The victim knew both Jason and Tracy from seeing them day after day at their jobs, or so he thought. Tracy seemed to be having some car trouble. The hood on her car was open and she had her head buried in the motor and her ass up in the air. All planned by yours truly, of course. I knew our victim well enough to know he would come over to Tracy in the guise of a helping hand, when in actuality, he wanted her moistness dripping off of his fingers. I stood across the street and watched out of sight from everyone as all this unfolded just as it had in my brain the day before. I was smiling like a madman as he walked over to Tracy's car. I had her wear the shortest, most alluring outfit she had in her wardrobe. Jason happened to be parked 2 cars down from Tracy. He had been hiding in his car for about 15 minutes until he got the wink from her. He quietly opened his door and climbed out with a large black tire iron. By this time, I was licking my lips. I could almost taste the blood. It was intoxicating. Our victim was leaning in toward the motor as Jason stealthily walked up behind him and tapped him on the shoulder. As he turned around, I saw Jason swing the tire iron as if he were hitting the longest home run known to man. I heard a deep thud all the way across the street, and I saw our victim's scalp peel back like a banana. I smiled and went on home. It was during coffee the next day, as my girl was flipping through the paper that I purposely bought, that she found out about the horrible accident. Seems our victim was now in a nursing home for invalids. Out of pity, we went to visit him and his family. As my girlfriend was consoling his wife, I walked over to him and tweaked his nose in a playful manner. I told him to be careful if he ever got to leave the nursing home. There are a lot of crazies out there. A tear dropped from his mute face as I dabbed at the drool running down his chin. I really hope you guys have a great day. Call or text us if you need anything.